Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
Featuring the best of Maria Menounos' SiriusXM show with celebrity and life-changing interviews, thoughts on the week, and more. And it's free. All we ask is that you rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell a friend to subscribe to SiriusXM. Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM Stars 109 at 1 p.m. East. And now here's your host, Maria Menounos.
Happy Friday, everybody. A little Bob Marley coming at you, because I just got back from Jamaica. And I rekindled my love for Bob Marley. Quote of the day, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. And I got so much things to say right now, guys. So happy to be back. This week on the radio was so much fun. If you didn't get to hear our week on SiriusXM, I recapped my two-week tour with my best friend, starting in Miami to Jamaica for our friend's moon, to hosting for Kelly Ripa and with Ryan Seacrest on Live with Kelly and Ryan, and then to Philly for the Royal Rumble. Detailed account on demand on SiriusXM. Of course, this is the podcast edition of Conversations with Maria Menounos, where we bring you free, fresh news, inspiration, and fun, plus the best of our SiriusXM shows from the week. You can find us here every Friday, right here on iTunes. And as I said, we do this for free, so we hope that you guys will help us out by subscribing, rating, and reviewing our show. And we really hope that if you like this, you will consider joining us and subscribing to SiriusXM Stars. There are so many great shows on there outside of just mine. You know, I'm a big fan of Joel Osteen. We talk about it all the time. I love my Frank Sinatra. I love Jenny McCarthy. There's so many great shows. So hopefully we can get you guys hooked over here and then you want to come over there. And you know what's funny is my best friend Alyssa, who I was on my friend's moon with, said that her neighbor was like, you know, I really love her podcast, so I'm going to join Sirius. I go, can you put that in an email? That means yes. You're my first official convert. I can't wait. That's so cool. So
that's a big feather in your cap, Maria.
That's the goal,
very
right?
Cool.
Listen, you got to start somewhere, right? Can't all be a Beyonce and just have it all.
You're the Beyonce of radio.
Yeah. Yeah, be your own Beyonce.
I'm just kidding. But anyway, so glad to be back with you guys. I really miss when I don't get to be here. But we're here and I'm going to share. It was funny. Lauren wanted me to talk about filling in for Live with Kelly and Ryan. And I know you really enjoyed that episode, and I appreciate that, Lauren.
You are absolutely unbelievable.
Thanks.
That's exactly what the Morning Space is missing, is your take on things. Because they have the fun, they have the fluff, but they don't have the salacious, which is what you bring to the table. And I was just in tears watching you. I was so proud seeing you on TV, getting to fully be yourself. And it was just, it was really incredible. I was blown away by how beautiful your delivery was.
Thanks. I can't wait to watch it back now.
Yeah.
I mean, the feedback on social media was so like major and so beautiful, and it caught me off guard because I'm just talking and I didn't realize. And in fact, sometimes I thought I was just rambling and I wasn't making sense. I'm like, I wonder if I'm even making sense. But I feel women really need to hear this stuff, like about self-love and self-nurturing and all of that. And, you know, my working with Diane Portia, who we had on the, do we have Diane on the show yet? No, we had the woman who made the documentary that Diane was in. So she's a spiritual healer. And one of the things that she has me say every day is, I forgive myself for judging myself as guilty and responsible for others. And in my new awareness, I know that I'm deserving of making self-honoring, self-loving, and self-nurturing choices for my own health and happiness. And it's been a big game changer. There's another part to it too about, you know, doesn't matter, but this is the part that's pertinent to this discussion. Anyway, and I feel like I'm doing that right now. I feel like I'm honoring myself and nurturing myself and giving myself the time to like find myself again and to be me, because I've had to be what everybody else wants me to be for so long. And, you know, you wonder when you see these like young stars, whether it's a Britney or a Selena Gomez or any of them, that eventually they have to break down because they're just being told by a machine what they are and who they are and how they need to look and how they need to be. And it's really hard. And I think it's hard for everybody in life. That's why, you know, doing your own thing is so exciting. It's hard. Mm-hmm. but I feel so free right now. And I feel like women need to hear it more than ever. Like right this minute, it's like at this moment. And, you know, when you say what you said about the morning shows need that, I do think that there's a place for it, because I feel like we've all gotten to a place where we're just complaining and like, you know, shit talking stuff is funny. Mm-hmm.
It's a meme based culture.
Yeah.
Versus meaning based.
Yeah. And I think that we get to have a lot of fun on our show every day and then, but still bring some meaning and some real stuff to it. So thanks, Lauren.
Yeah. Well, there's room for both in the same space. And it was really refreshing to see both delivered. So thank you.
Thanks. Well, we're joined by my guest co-host for the day. She's also an AfterBuzz TV host and Yahoo host and producer, Dani Golub. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
So I was trying to figure out, like, what am I going to talk about? Because we have so much things to say right now. And time is already running out. And so I feel like I want to do a whole podcast kind of on this stuff. But I did write a journal entry at the end of my vacation because I didn't want to forget the moment I was in. And I do that from time to time, especially when I have breakthroughs. I just jot them all down.
And hey, we should all do that more. You know, like when you're in a moment and feeling present.
Yeah.
Remembering that feeling and writing it down, because I think it gets lost.
Oh, Dani, trust me. I'm desperate to keep this feeling. So on the last day in Jamaica, I wrote, just be in the moment, be yourself. Nothing matters. We make things matter. Don't have anxiety over what way is right way, what feels good, what makes you feel good, what makes you feel peace is right, no matter what. Everything that's meant for me will come if things aren't really happening linearly, like in the human realm, which we talked about in Anita Morjani's book about, you know, the afterlife and all of that. It's not even that it's just written, it's happened. So just enjoy the moment, just be present, just be. Suppressing ourselves, our true selves, is causing disease and pain. And that was something that I learned when I read that book, Dying to Be Me by Anita Morjani. Suppressing ourselves is causing disease and pain. If that doesn't speak to me and my mom and so many others, I don't know what would. Bad people have no self-love. That's why they can't act lovingly. Self-love is paramount. Barb Marley said it right. Don't worry. Everything will be all right. The gift of this world is to be present. Judgments, criticisms, etc. are all just mirrors of how we feel about ourselves. That was a big one. Marketing has really hurt us. It makes us feel lesser than if we don't have or can't have it. And always, we're always trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's not being. Oh gosh, I got fruity. This is so embarrassing. I can't believe I have to read this.
No, these are so profound.
Oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
I feel like this is like,
I live for the fruit.
We are even more unique than a flower in a meadow. So why then must we all want to be the same? Why not celebrate our uniqueness? We are all one. We are all magnificent. We are all creators. Mosquitoes itch. Ha ha.
That's awesome. I think you need to create a book of mantras. These are like amazing.
Living only happens when you relent and let go of fear. Everything has a name, anxiety, etc. Maybe it just adds to the issues. Then we all commiserate over that and amplify it. What if we just be? Most of that could maybe dissipate. Because I'm not pushing anything, everything is coming. Maybe that's the way to be forever rather than, hold on, next page, getting caught up in madness again. I've never been happier than these recent months. Distancing myself from the everyday control and responsibility of everyone, removed from work with bad people who didn't want me to be me because it threatened them. Happy with Kev and marriage, resting, doing things I choose. I I like most hate being told what to do and not to do. I feel like that's all it's been until the tumor. I'm so glad. Sorry for my horrible handwriting, guys. I'm so glad I love myself again.
Oh.
I'm so glad I love myself enough to want to heal, give myself ample time to do it, not be influenced by people, money, or fear, to just be and to just, oh gosh, and to do as I please. I was working against myself. Now I work with the universe, conspiring to create the happiest, most present experience here in this realm and in this life. I only use my phone here and there. On this trip, it was amazing because we barely used it and we were present and we're happier for it.
Wow.
See. I'm so That's happy amazing. Because I'm being good to myself, guilt-free. I mean, I keep going on. I can do more about this, but those are some of my thoughts.
So much of that is so applicable to like – to everyone and to every industry. Like you talk about, you know, stepping away from your day to day and the pressures that you feel, but that is just universal.
Yeah.
It really impacts everyone, whether you're working in like a hospital, working at the post office, or working in Hollywood. So much of what you just said, everyone can relate to and should try to embrace.
Yeah.
Because it's so important to be here in this moment and to like appreciate the people around you.
Yeah. The problem is a lot of people don't know how to get out of it. So now my thing is like, I feel like I'm getting all this awareness and I feel like, and I said this before, I feel like because I'm a communicator, I'm glad that this happened to me because I've always said, I got to figure out another way for us. What's the other way? When I was going through hell at another job and didn't want to like live anymore, I was like, I have to figure out the solution and what's the other way for women. So I'm getting to this place where, okay, I know what it's supposed to be, but how do I get people there who didn't have a brain tumor? And so that's what I'm like working on now is like, I feel like it will come, but I want to be able to awaken everyone to this other way because we all just got so wrapped up in the madness of life and anxiety and stress. And now we're taking all these pills and we're just rushing and moving and moving and pushing and pushing. And so I want to find out how to help people really absorb this because I feel like a lot of people need an excuse to get out of their own way.
Yeah. I feel like the brain
and they
tumor...
need like an illness. Like I remember talking to my cousin about it and I was like, I feel like you're waiting for something to happen for someone to give you permission to love yourself. And we shouldn't wait for that.
I feel like the brain tumor was your thing and that other people have other things that can then be applied. And so this is like the perfect opportunity to like, what is your, you know.
Wake up call.
Yeah.
Yeah. To live the life that you want. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But we will continue to talk about this. And we talk about it every day on the SiriusXM radio show. So we hope you join us there as well. But if not, we'll see you back here on Friday. Coming up, your former Sports Illustrated journalist, Julie Vader, explained the inaccuracies from I, Tanya, and what really went on behind the scenes of Tanya Harding's life and career. This is a must listen.
I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos. Best of the week.
So I wake up in whatever city I've been in. I've been on like a two-week tour. I was in Philly, actually, for the Royal Rumble for the WWE. And I read this article from Julie Vader from The Oregonian. And she's talking about – the article was called I Nauseated.
Yes.
Right? I nauseated. And finally, somebody was saying the things that I had been feeling.
Okay, same. And right? I had the most unpopular opinion at my office. I was like shamed by people I worked with for not loving this movie the way that everybody else did. I literally could not agree with you more. Julie said what I was thinking.
Okay. So let me be clear. If this wasn't a story, and I have the chills all the way up and down my body right now. If this wasn't a real story, the movie was brilliant.
Yeah, I agree.
It was so brilliantly done and so well acted, but it was a real person's life.
I Nauseated could not be a better title because it's not that the movie was bad because I think that the awards that it's won and the nominations it's getting are well-deserved.
Yeah.
But – there was just one line that she said, and I'm sure we'll get into it all, but, you know, when she talks about how the part with Nancy Kerrigan being laughed at and that was almost comical, my stomach twisted as well because I remember watching this unfold in real time in the news and seeing how tragic this was and someone's life was literally shattered.
Yeah.
And yet there's comic relief behind it. I felt I felt not great about that. Yeah. I felt like my stomach, I nauseated.
I was so upset. I didn't even want to go see the movie. And I think I might have had a mini rant on the show.
I think you refrained until you, because you're feeling that, you hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. I didn't refrain when I woke up. I read this and I tweeted like real, real passionately.
Yeah.
And then Kevin was like, maybe you shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, no, this is how I was feeling. And I'm like, it's not really congruent with what I'm feeling as a person right now. Like, I feel like, you know, whatever, but I'm still so upset for her. And I feel like rightfully so.
When you say her, you mean Nancy.
Nancy, yeah. And it was before I even had met her, because when I met her for the first time, she came here to do the Tomorrow Show.
She was on Dancing with the Stars as well.
Yeah.
So there's a sisterhood there.
Yeah. So when she came to do the Tomorrow Show, I could tell she was really – she was very press shy and just guarded, as you could imagine someone like her would be after everything she's gone through. And I remember, you know, she had a good interview here and nobody took advantage of her or try to like throw any curveballs at her. And because we don't do that. Kevin doesn't do that. I don't do that. And then when she did Dancing with the Stars, I invited her over to the house. I'm like, let me give you all the tips and give you some of the, you know, experiences to help you. And I remember when she looked at me at one point, we're in my backyard, and she goes, why are you helping me? Why do you care? Mm. And I started bawling. And I was like, because I just want to see you win. I'm like, you deserve this. You need to be back in like America's hearts in the way that you were before. And like, I just was so passionate about her reclaiming that kind of perch. Because I know what she did. She, and I don't know, it's not like we talked about any of this stuff, right? It's just that she, this happened. She fought her way back. Somebody on social media was like, oh, she lost her ruined, life was ruined. She won the silver medal and this and that. It's like, no, 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 buddy. If you watch the 30 for 30, yeah. The U.S. Olympic Committee robbed her of the gold. She skated a perfect performance, a perfect show, and they didn't want to give it to her because they were like, oh, you too have disgraced the ice skating committee. The same people, I'm assuming, of the same ilk that have committed all the atrocities that we're seeing come out now. And so, no, I don't think that, you know, just because she was able to fight back from an injury and get a silver.
2 years later, yeah. Mind you, because that was the year where they show in the movie that it wasn't even a 4-year gap between. It was only 2 years that she had to recover from literally getting her knee bashed with a crowbar to being able to even win a silver. I mean, that's a victory if nothing else, in my opinion.
Yeah, because wait, I'm trying to remember. So she got hit and then she wasn't able to perform in the Olympics that year. She had to wait 2 years.
No, she still did.
She still did.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It was like, that's what I mean. But it was within the 2-year frame. When I know like with injuries like that, with physical therapy and like surgery, whatever she needed to endure, that is a very short time period to bounce back like
but
that.
But she, wait, did she win the silver that year? Yeah. So why are you saying 2 years later?
Oh, I think there was another Olympics 2 years later, wasn't there?
No.
Oh, no. I thought.
No. She got hit just before the Olympics.
Oh, just before the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I know her knee was
broken.
Wait,
I'm getting confused now. So anyhow.
Julie's our expert, so we'll check in with her.
Is she on the line?
She is.
Julie, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Thank you for writing this piece.
You're welcome. You know, I didn't go to the movie intending to write that piece. I thought the movie was so highly praised and had such a good buildup. I thought it's going to be great because it is a fascinating story. But the longer the movie went on, the more upset I got at how slanted and terrible it was toward people who didn't deserve to be slandered. And
so because I didn't properly introduce you, I want everyone to understand that you were a Sports Illustrated writer who covered U.S. figure skating in the 80s and 90s. And so you were behind the scenes every step of the way. This is something that, you know, we could probably call you an expert on, right?
Yes. I was a sports writer for Sports Illustrated, and my first figure skating event was the 86 Nationals, which was also Tonya Harding's first national. And then I went on to a paper called the National Sports Daily and covered figure skating events, including the 1991 National Championships where Tonya Harding landed the triple axel, which was a great moment. And then I went, became sports columnist for the Oregonian newspaper, which is in Tonya's hometown. So wrote quite a bit about Tonya Harding then and was in Detroit, the Nationals. Just to clarify the timeline you were talking about earlier, Nancy Kerrigan was attacked on January 6th, 1994, at the national figure skating championships before the competition, mm-hmm. and was unable to compete. And that competition also served as the Olympic trials. The Olympics were in February. So she just had a few weeks basically to recover.
My gosh. Yeah. That's what injury. I remember. She recovered really quickly.
Yes. And the 2-year Olympic thing was back in the movie again distorts this. Back in the mid-80s, Olympic officials decided that they should hold Winter Olympics and Summer Olympics in different years. They used to all be held in the same year. So to make that stutter work, they threw in an extra Winter Olympics. So that's why there was only 2 years between Albertville and Lillehammer.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And Nancy and Tanya both were on the Olympic team in Albertville in 1992. Christy Yamaguchi won the gold that year. Nancy Kerrigan won a bronze, and Tanya Harding finished fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I remember so that.
They both competed in 2 Olympics.
What has the response to your article been, other than Danny and I loving it, of course?
Well, someone from the Oregonian, my old newspaper, just told me Twitter drove the most looks to their website than anything ever. So
yeah.
People are still fascinated by this story.
Well, don't you think it's because Nancy hasn't really spoken either?
Well, she has, and I don't know what she can say. I mean, she was attacked viciously.
Mm-hmm.
And what more is there to say about that? It was very unfair, and she fought her way back and skated brilliantly at the Olympics. And, you know, that's her story.
Did you watch the 30 for 30 that I was talking about, where they really clearly explained that the committee was so down on the two of them? Because that's what, when I read that, when I read your article, I just went back, I flashed back to the whole U2. It was like they put them in the same basket. It's like, and that's why I tweeted, I said, if this week the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles attacked Tom Brady and smashed his arm and did what they did to Nancy, there would be outrage. And I think because it was women, it turned into this catfight, and it turned into U2, and they robbed her of that gold medal.
Well, it wasn't, you're confusing two different bodies. She was judged by international judges at the Olympics, and she lost by 0.1 point. Very close to Akana Baiul, who was the reigning world champion and also skated brilliantly. So figure skating aficionados can agree or disagree about who was better. It was very close, and they both did very well. But U.S., the lumping in, I think, I agree with you, Nancy Kerrigan was treated very unfairly almost right from the start. The video of her after she was attacked screaming, why, for some reason on the headlines in Newsweek and Sports Illustrated and the New York Daily News, in huge type, they had her screaming, why me, which is something she never said and is something quite different from why.
Great journalism, so, right?
I think that was also how it was portrayed in the film. I remember, yeah. And I think that you touched on that also in your article by saying, we were talking about it a little bit before you came on, but they used that scene with Nancy almost as comic relief. And I felt very, yeah. very similarly to you with your stomach turning in that scene, because we're witnessing like an attack, yet why are people in the theater around me laughing?
Yep.
Yeah, it was horrifying. It was a clever bit of filmmaking. The filmmakers for this movie had a big problem, in that the only reason anyone's talking about Tanya Harding or even knows her name is because of the attack on Nancy Kerrigan. And that's the central fact of her story. And to make a movie about her, you have to make the main character sympathetic. So the movie just goes way out off the rails trying to make Tanya Harding sympathetic in order to make the movie work.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have to minimize the attack on Nancy Kerrigan and minimize her as a person to make the movie work. So that's what movies do. Movies are manipulated. I get all that. That's fine. My problem was that Tanya Harding is profiting financially from this. Nancy Kerrigan is still very much with us and alive. Attacking her is, you know, just so unfair. And it's watching Tonya Harding on red carpets and.
Ugh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask about that. Like at the Golden Globes.
Praise her as, you know, some sort of rebel.
And some victim.
Yeah. you can be a victim and still do terrible things.
Yes, they do a lot. Absolutely. Happens every day. I mean, you see it every day. It doesn't mean these people aren't going to prison and they're not being held accountable for their actions. I was absolutely sickened when I started seeing everyone posing with her on red carpets. And then when I saw the movie, I did think that they were trying, in a sense, like to have some irony and to like make fun of Tonya a little bit too. But really, it just ended up coming off like complete sympathy for her. And like, you don't know the whole story. And, you know, you point out some things that were not correct factually. Was there something, I can't remember.
Well, the abuse, I think, is still like, it's rocky waters because it's not confirmed by the mom whether or not that was actually happening. But the movie portrays it as if that was for sure happening. And I think that's the main sympathy card that comes forward for Tonya in the film, is that she was a victim of, you know, domestic abuse from her mom.
And then her husband. Remember,
and her husband, correct.
Do you remember that scene when the cute little girl is crying because her dad is driving away, her parents have broken
yeah.
up, and she has uh-huh. to stay with her terrible mom? Well, in real life, not quite so interesting. Her parents broke up when Tonya was 15, not oh. 8, whatever that kid was. Huh. And yeah. Tonya went to live with her dad.
So, interesting. Yeah, so that's like not factually, I suppose, accurate. And that's a big sympathy card.
It's an example of, you know, movie storytelling to make your emotions lean one way when.
Yeah, but it's a real story. How do you do that to somebody? Like, I'm just horrified by it. The only thing that sticks out to me is that that to this day, the husband still says she wasn't in on it. And yet you point out the FBI report where Jeff Galluli says that Tonya was upset that they didn't do enough to her and that she wasn't more disabled. And the original intent was to kill her. And then it was to slice open her Achilles heel, right? Achilles tendon.
Like duct tape her mouth shut in her hotel room.
And leave her in a hotel room. So the one thing I'd ask you, Julie, as somebody who knows this more, because the reason I haven't said much about this is because I don't have the facts and I haven't had time to be able to dig deep. And I think it's such a hard thing to like really figure out now, unless you have someone like you who really followed it in real time. If her husband still is saying that she was not in on it, why would
he has said that all along, that she is in on it.
That she was?
Yes.
So the movie makes it seem like she wasn't, right?
Exactly. And
so they're confusing me like everybody else.
Yes. It's fiction. The movie's fiction and it's fantasy. And it puts Tonya Harding and, by the way, Jeff Galluli in the best light possible.
Mm. Yeah.
About the attack. And it's, you know, when he was arrested by the FBI, he gave a full detailed confession. And he didn't just say Tonya knew about it. He went through dates and times and what she said and where they were and da da da.
Yeah, and she hand wrote the note of where Nancy was practicing.
It's in her handwriting.
In her handwriting.
Yeah. Yes. In her practice times. And so his story has not changed that much. The movie makes it seem like this is his story and that it coincides with Tonya, that it was this weird thing about we were just gonna send threatening letters and then we decided not to, but Sean went ahead and did it anyway. Mm. Which is fantasy. It's not the story.
Wow. And another point that you made that you said was also not factual was the speech that Tonya gave to the judge and the lawyers, like when she was begging not to be banned from skating.
Yes. Another tearful Tonya moment that was not based in reality. She, in March after the Olympics, she pled guilty. She had very good lawyers. And
she got funding from the CEO of Nike, right?
Hmm. Yes.
Thank you for providing all that information, too, that she was actually getting money and sponsors from people. She wasn't this poor, destitute skater that was trying to just make it happen alone.
Yeah, I think it left that out of the film. It kind of glorified, like, being poor in America almost, mm-hmm. because I feel like it portrayed her in this light and we didn't realize that money was coming from other places that we didn't see in the film.
Yeah, including George Steinbrenner, of all people.
Yeah.
So anyway, she cut a very good deal. She pled guilty to a felony, didn't have to admit to a knowing beforehand. Portland and the state of Oregon didn't have to prosecute her, and she didn't have to go to jail, and that was it. And then months later, the United States Figure Skating Association had conducted their own investigation, concluded that there was substantial evidence that she had colluded to assault a competitor and banned her for life. So that in the movie, this courtroom scene of her, of somehow the law banning her from figure skating, wasn't true. One of the conditions of her guilty plea was that she resigned from the Figure Skating Association because the world championships were coming up, and goodness knows they didn't want to send her to Japan for that. So that was one of the conditions. But she's still free to skate. She was still free to coach kids. She just couldn't skate in sanctioned events. And no figure skater of any name would agree to skate with her because they realized that what she did was pretty horrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't want her coaching my kids either. Julie, thank you for this, for taking the time to talk to us and for this article. It was really necessary, and I hope it stays top of mind, especially through the Oscars, where hopefully they won't have Tanya join her on that carpet.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would, but who knows?
You never know. All right, well, thank you, Julie.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
If you guys want to see, read her article, check out The Oregonian, and it's called I Nauseated. I retweeted it just like two days ago, maybe.
Hope you enjoyed that interview. Next up, hear PETA Murgatroyd from Dancing with the Stars. Find out whether PETA is going to return to the show and so much more.
I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos. Best of the week.
Guys, my next guest is a professional dancer, best known for Dancing with the Stars. Please welcome my friend PETA Murgatroyd.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, gorgeous.
Thank you.
I'm always in awe of your beauty. You are like one of the most beautiful humans I've ever laid eyes on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Honestly, was just going to say that about you. I'm looking at your hair and makeup right now. I'm thinking how perfect you look.
Thanks.
You're doing radio.
Thank you.
You look gorgeous.
But we did a little shoot this morning, and it was funny. I was saying there's some bad coffee juju around my house right now because I finished hair and makeup this morning, walked up the stairs to go into the house, and tripped. And I noticed my mug this morning of all time. So I think I jinxed myself, but I have this really cool mug someone gave me, and it says Hollywood on it. But I just love the shape of it. It's like big and round and like lovey.
I love a big coffee cup.
Yeah. Yes. And I totally spilled, like, you know, everything, the coffee and me, smashed myself. My toe is like throbbing so bad. And then you come in here and you're like, I spilled coffee on myself. I'm like,
I look
what's
like
happening?
I'm breastfeeding again and I'm leaking. It's all over me.
Isn't that life of the mom, though, anyway?
I swear to God, the amount of times that I've walked out of the house with, like, a puff in my hair or something that, like, a piece of apple that is caught in my nose or something like that that Shy has just gotten in there. But, you know, it's the life of the mother.
That's so funny. Yeah. And he's a year old now?
He's a year. Yeah, he just turned on January 4th.
What's that been like?
Absolutely amazing. You know, I never thought it would be this great.
Really?
And I always wanted
kids. I don't
kids.
Think it's going to be that great either. I'm like, now it's like I'm in the moment. I'm like, oh God, we really got to like do this. And I was really excited. And now that we're like starting to really talk about it again, I'm like, I don't know. My life's kind of finally getting really good. I'm really liking it.
You're like, it's really fun.
Shit. I don't know if I want this.
Babe, I went through the same things.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And your life does drastically change, but it really is all for the better. And, you know, he's just, when you come home each day, everything is worth it. It is so much work and you go through so much as a mother. It's just the most incredible thing. So, I mean, you should do it. I would have done it earlier.
Really?
I would have.
Oh, how old were you when you had him?
30.
30. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
39. Hop on that train.
But do you like it? Here's my question, because I feel like obviously it stops you in your tracks. And it slows down your life in a different way, right? So your priorities completely shift. Do you feel, because you've been dancing and working so hard your whole life, do you feel like it was a welcomed thing, aside from the fact that obviously you love this little human you just made, obviously, but do you feel like it kind of just was able to like allow you time for like family and love and not just work?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like I have been working since I've been 16, just traveling around the world in theaters and dancing. And this time was for me and my family. And once you have to relax, you have to chill out, and you have to be at home. And it was kind of amazing because you've got nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was breastfeeding every 3 hours, and it's just an insane schedule, but it makes you sort of wind down and think what's really important right now. And it was, you know, nourishing my son and making sure he's healthy, happy, and living the best life that he can. So I enjoyed every second of it. You know, I went back to Dance with the Stars though after 6.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, so, wait, it's even worse than I thought.
I mean, so early.
It was really early, but I loved it. I enjoyed it. It was tough to leave the house sometimes because you miss them so much. It's incredible pain when you see them and you have to leave them each day. But I think it's good for the mother to get back out there and start working again.
Yeah. Well, it was probably good for you to get in shape too, right? Oh, although you looked the same.
She looked amazing.
I know.
Well, not the first season.
You did though.
I remember actually too. I remember being blown away.
I want to ask because a lot of people, a lot of fans on social media, I don't even want to call them fans, critics, I want to say they were saying you came back too fast. And I was like, every mom is different. Every woman is different. Yeah. I know. And how did you deal with those critics?
I mean, you just try to block them out. I mean, I wouldn't say there was an overwhelming amount of them, but there were definitely mothers that were like, hey, you shouldn't do that. You know, you should be at home with your son 24 hours a day. And yes, I love being at home with my son, but to you know, feed your own soul as a person, I'm still a person myself. You know, you have to go out there and do what you love to do still.
But, you know, you've entered this whole new realm, right? Like, I've heard there's so much mommy shaming. And,
so much.
Right?
Oh,
so it's like,
my Lord.
It's almost like you become a mommy, you got to put like a whole other suit of armor on because they're judging your every move.
You do. If you leave like any sort of anything in the crib, they will bash you like, oh, I can't believe you left that little pillow in the crib. He could roll over, blah, blah, blah. And yes, he could, but the pillow wasn't there when he was sleeping. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, he's fine.
He's fine. Yeah.
I don't understand that only because I'm not a mom, but I always feel like, why aren't women supporting each other? Because we're trying to advance ourselves in our careers, but we're also trying to do our best at home. And we don't ask these same questions to men.
Yeah. No, it's true. I agree with that. I want to go back to the whole idea of it kind of made you stay home because if you're traveling as much as you were, even if it was an insane schedule, the fact that you just got to be home nursing your baby,
it was amazing.
It was like a vacation for you in a weird way, right?
Yeah, it was a vacation. I was sleeping, trying to sleep like every moment I could. I've never slept during the day before. Yeah. Who does that now? I mean, you're working all the time.
But see, I feel like I've gotten that. I'm in that place now where like I'm choosing me and my happiness after my brain tumor. And so that's why yesterday we were driving in the car and I'm like, Kev, do we really want to do this? Like, shit's just getting to be awesome. And, like, and I'm in such a good place. And I feel like adding more responsibility on my plate, I just got rid of a lot of responsibility and adding more on at this moment. I don't know if it's time yet.
Maybe it's not. Maybe you can have babies forever. I mean, you know, do it in 10 years if you want to.
I know. That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Okay. So now are you guys, we're already on to the next one. Are you thinking of more?
Yes, absolutely. When I see little girls, well, we're going on tour for a couple of months coming up. So not, you know, and you can't be pregnant when I'm on tour.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably this year we're going to try again.
How do you prevent that? Are you guys just making sure you don't have sex during those times?
We don't really. We're not really that cautious. I mean,
so it is what it is.
You can have a tour baby.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, as long as I'm not too pregnant while I'm on tour in those sexy outfits, wouldn't look too good.
So let's talk about this tour because Kristen, our expert, of course, was just updating me on everything this morning. So Dancing with the Stars this next season is going to be a short, smaller kind of situation. Explain what this next season is going to be.
Well, I don't actually know. Oh. I because we're on tour.
Do you know more?
I know more.
Yes. Yeah. I know that it's a shorter season for athletes,
yes,
right?
So it's an all-athlete edition. They're only going to have 10 athletes, but they're going to do it in 4 weeks. So you sit there and you think about
that's
this.
Insane.
They're going to have to do, what, double eliminations every week? That
Why
kind
did
of
they
thing?
Even
I don't
bother?
Think they're not having a full cast, like a 10, 12 celebrity
they
cast.
They said 10 athletes.
Oh, they did?
That's what they originally announced. Now, that, of course, could change.
Wow.
I know. Doesn't that sound like a lot?
So 10 athletes, it's going to start when? Because normally you guys would be on right now.
April 30th. It's very
yeah,
late.
It's later.
Yeah,
it's we usually late. Start like 16th of March, like yeah. around there.
Okay, so that's just – I don't know. So we heard it's because of American Idol.
American Idol budget.
Took away.
Really? A lot of the money went over to American Idol.
I feel
Idol.
Like I'm out of this right now. I'm yes. totally out of the loop because I've had this. You know,
I know. Well,
in
and here's
way.
The thing too. I emailed ABC Publicity and I said, are you guys doing two nights a week if you're doing 10 athletes? You know, the show is 2 hours on Mondays. And they said, as of right now, it's 2 hours on Mondays. There's not a Tuesday show. There's not a results show. I'm like, how is this going
I mean,
to
they
work?
They must be doing double eliminations.
Yeah, it has to be.
And I mean, condensing it though into 4 weeks. I mean, that.
Well, you're not going to see any growth.
Right. And they, yeah. you know, I know that Dina Katz said, the casting director, she was like, this is great because athletes oftentimes can't commit to the, you know, the 3 months that are needed. So this is great for us to be able to get them in a shorter season. But at the same time, I'm like, you don't see the growth. You don't yeah. see the journey.
Right. Yeah. 10 weeks is like the minimum.
I'm
for
just
growth.
Bummed because I love seeing the show and I want to see it in its kind of like true form. I hate that another show got to take their budget away.
I know.
That's I mean, I think they're going to have the full season though.
In the
fall. Yeah. Season 26, that's which be, is the fall.
Right. Yeah.
This is considered a spinoff.
So then in the meantime, yeah. you don't know if you're coming back yet to this fall, this new season starting in April with the sports
Well,
guys?
I won't be able to because we're on tour.
Okay.
I'm on tour with Max and Val.
So you guys are definitely not doing the athlete season.
Yes, we cannot. It overlaps.
So yeah. you don't know if you're coming back in the fall?
I don't know because my contract is up. So okay. my 7 years is up. So
is Max's and Val's contract up as well?
Yep.
Negotiate.
Oh my God, this is awesome.
Renegotiate.
Awesome. Schmierkowski negotiation. Come on.
Wait, this is like so in like wrestling matches and stuff. They're like, this is awesome. This is awesome.
Because
you guys all can band together.
I know. How yeah. good would that be?
Well, it would be nice, right? Like the friends thing and all get what you deserve. And
Favorite
what you
Nations
want.
Is a great way.
I mean, listen, the show's incredible. I would love to be back because it is so much fun. And, you know, I do enjoy it. But I also want more time with my son. And yeah. that was one thing that I did feel in the past two seasons when I had Shy. That, you know, you say it's going to be 4 hours a day. And it isn't.
Never.
It's 4 hours of training. Then you have OTFs to do. Then you have wardrobe. Then
you
have
consultations. And you have to do the choreography because the 4 hours is with them teaching
right.
them.
Right. And I have 2 hours before that doing choreography. Yeah. So it just adds up. And I'm like, I get home at the end of the day and I'm like, okay, I missed lunch and now I'm missing dinner. Yeah. I don't want to miss two meals. You know what I mean?
And just, he's growing so fast.
He's growing so fast. And I missed the one thing that I was so upset about. I was with Nick Vial my first season back. I missed when he first rolled over. Aww. And it's like such a big thing when you're like, you've only seen them, you know, on their back. And yeah. when they roll over for the first time, it's really
it's
big.
Cute.
Yeah. And my nanny texts me the picture of him oh. holding the card. And I burst out into tears because at
that
point, you're
heart.
So yeah. you're so hormonal. Like I was crying at everything.
I can't handle this.
Wait, so now you guys are going to go on tour when?
We start March 19th.
Got it. So you guys yeah. are doing like what Derek and Julianne did, but
yes.
your version.
Yep.
And you guys go, you're going to go on how many cities?
I think it's 46 or 50 cities.
Okay.
It's
Kristen?
Around there.
I think it's like 50. But I was like, I think
Kristen's our expert. That's why she's here.
But you're doing Radio City. You're here in LA.
Radio City.
Microsoft.
I've never done Radio City.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm so stoked about that.
Wait, so you guys are doing your own tour. So what are you going to do with the baby? Is he coming with you?
He's coming, yeah. We're getting a crib built in the bus and we're going to have our regular nanny with us. And yeah, it's just going to be tour life for him, really.
Family on the road.
Yeah.
I want to ask, did you guys try and get Jenna on the tour?
Which, we did. Yeah. She still has her contract though, so it was a little bit more difficult to get her, which you know
to
we understand.
Her, yeah. Well, she'll be on the all athlete season then.
Hopefully, yeah.
I think so.
I would love that.
I'll
for
throw
her.
It out there.
That's so cool. You guys are going to do that.
I know. I'm so excited.
It's fun.
It's to travel with your family, I think, is something really special. So,
yeah.
I mean, to have everybody there on the bus and, you know, doing what you love to do every night, it's a great thing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. When you go on the tour, will you and Val dance together?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Is it weird to sexy dance with your brother-in-law?
I don't think we're going to have any sexy dances.
You're going to jive.
No Argentine tangos.
I think we're going to have a cha-cha in the beginning. Okay. So, but
it's still a little close.
I mean, I guess sometimes it could be strange, but you don't really think about it.
I saw the tour with like Derek and Julianne, and they would dance together, and I'm like, how does this work?
I couldn't dance with my brother.
There are a lot of ballroom couples, though, that are siblings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very common.
Yeah. Very common. Yeah. But
so no sexy dancing with Belle.
I don't think so. Not this tour. I mean, I have done. We've done Rumpus together. We've done Argentine tangos. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Part of the job.
But that was before you guys were married and had kids.
Yeah.
That was when Val maybe had a chance. Val screwed up.
Val has Jenna, who's amazing.
I know. Has Jenna. But, okay, so now, so you and Max will probably do like some really hot numbers, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. We haven't really started the full-on rehearsal process yet, but we're definitely hopefully going to do like an Argentine tango and like a contemporary dance and what else, maybe a rumba as well. So
but do you guys, like, when you guys are looking at these dances and stuff, like, are you thinking like, we gotta like knock it out of the park, make it super sexy and hot? Like, I'm thinking like water, like get them all drenched.
Flash dance style. I don't really think about that. I don't think I have to put so much pressure on it, but I feel like if you have the chemistry already with somebody, it's going to be hot and sexy anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we have a very passionate life together, love life together. And
that's awesome. Especially after baby, right?
Listen, you gotta make time for that, though.
So yeah.
You do.
So now, do you guys fight when you choreograph together? Like,
oh, we do.
You do.
Oh, yeah. Max and I are horrible. No, I don't. This tour, I really want to leave the choreography and make it, give it to somebody else to do.
So you guys can just be happy.
So we can just chill and learn the choreography and you know, obviously have input. But having that extra pressure on us, it doesn't work for us. Many couples can do it and they're fine, but we can't.
Are you bringing in other choreographers, like outside choreographers?
Yes. Yeah. Not for every dance, but for, you know, like the dance where we talk about our love life and getting married and stuff like that, I definitely want somebody to come in and create that for us, on us.
So how have you seen Max change from like way before this was even an idea of you guys being together? Yeah. Like, because you've worked with him for so long before, right?
Yeah. We met on Broadway. But he was with Karina back then and I was with my boyfriend Damien. And I would say that he came in very chauvinistic. It was Max, I'm the hot Russian dancer from Dancing with the Stars. You know, I didn't know him at all. Uh-huh. I was from Australia. But I think he's just done a 180. I mean, he's such a soft-centered guy. He's a big teddy bear, and I mean, you know him.
Mm-hmm.
He's hard on the exterior, but inside he is all mush. And right now he is, by far, he has surpassed every expectation I have of him being a dad.
Like, what?
He is incredible. He's just so hands-on, willing to do anything. He loves spending time with Shy, and he'll get up in the morning and he'll take him for a walk. He takes him for hikes. He just changes diapers. He does everything.
Aww.
And just, it's really about the time that you spend with them. Mm-hmm. It is. You've got to put in the time.
Are you guys going to have him dance?
Maybe, if he wants to.
How old do you guys start? I mean, four?
Four, yeah. I started at four.
I mean, but have you guys had the conversation of like, I want him to be like me. I want him to dance.
We have.
Is he dancing a lot? Is he?
Not yet.
He just rolled over, I think.
But sometimes they hear music and they you know, have a little bit of movement. You see the interest there.
Right. Maybe in a couple of months he'll be doing that.
Yeah. He's your son. He's, of course, he's going to have moves and he's going
to. I mean, I played music to him always when he was in my belly. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully.
Wait, so you guys, you said that you guys did talk about it. So what did you guys say?
I mean, I wouldn't put him in. I wouldn't say you were doing ballroom dancing. I would like for him to know how to treat a woman on the dance floor. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
At age four, when he comes to age four, most people put their kids in a bunch of different things and see what they like best, right?
Of course, yeah.
Aren't you going
to
like.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Like sports and swimming and, you know, maybe gymnastics. I mean, that upper, you see those gymnast bodies. I mean, they're incredible. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Why not do that? You know, what about golf?
Yeah.
It's tennis? A safe sport, tennis.
It's a safe sport.
I don't want to do football because, I know.
I would never. Mm-mm. That would be like one thing I would be adamant about.
It's would cringe at the football games.
It makes me sad as a fan, but it just, there's no way.
Yeah.
It's just too hard.
But honestly, I'm open. I'm not going to stop him from doing whatever he wants to do.
I love it. So. We do know that there is some reports that Dancing with the Stars is courting Caitlyn Jenner.
Really?
Have you heard
about
this? That.
I would love that so much.
So now, yeah, tell me what you think.
I would dance with her.
Okay.
I think it'd be so much fun. I mean, it would cause so much controversy, and I don't know how America would react to it. I don't think they would react to it very favorably.
But I have a feeling, knowing Caitlyn a little, that there's no rhythm there.
I don't know her at all.
I have a feeling that this is not her thing.
Like, right.
The Olympics, yes. Like running, yes. Like
big feet.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
I have a feeling that this isn't her thing.
But we'll Chaz Bono was on the show.
Yes, he was. He was with Lacey.
Yeah, why does Chaz Bono not have dancing ability?
But he did, but transgender. I'm just thinking the transgender thing has already happened.
It's not because of the transgender thing. I'm just saying like Caitlyn
is... You either got it or you don't.
Yeah, I don't think Caitlyn has a rhythm. I think Chaz does. And I mean, we obviously saw that.
Yeah.
But no, it's not a transgender thing at all.
I didn't mean that, but like controversy-wise, we've already done the...
Like, well, he's a transgender too.
No, I didn't mean that, but she was saying it was controversial. And I was like, actually, we've already done the transgender contestant.
Oh, That's true.
Yeah. So it's, I feel like, but... Kardashian umbrella is always a little bit more controversial than,
and I'm sure they would come to support her.
Yeah,
I don't know anymore.
Well, really? The family's a little.
I don't know what's going on there.
And Caitlyn said that she did not want to do the show. She wants to run for office.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that the new thing?
That was the last thing I had heard.
See, everyone's going to say they want to run for office now after Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I know, but I think The Rock really is going to, and I think The Rock's really going to win, and then I'm going to smell what the president's cooking.
It's kind of awesome.
That'd be great. Let's talk a little bit about your blog, because you have FamGlam.
Yeah.
When did you start that?
I started that when I was pregnant with Shy. I guess a year ago. Yeah. It's like an online destination for women to go to, and men, of course, you know, to ask questions, to get advice. And we talk about health, beauty, vitamins, mm-hmm. fashion, for how to dress your bump and all of that stuff.
How are you answering all of these?
It's tough. There's a lot of questions that come in, but it's actually kind of like therapy. It's strange to have to, you know, talk to somebody about what you like to do and mm-hmm. how you like to do it, and it helps them, and I love that. It's a great thing. So if I could help out one new mother, because I know I had so many questions. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even held a newborn child before. I had no idea what to do with Shy. So I needed all the help that I could get. So if I could pass on my knowledge, then
wait, I have an idea. Know, so I just was at Sandals in Jamaica for their overwater bungalow suites, right?
Is it good there?
It's unreal.
Because I looked at the – I saw the ad last night.
Go. You
really?
Guys are going to die. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
Gourmet food, incredible service, ultimate absolute privacy. Now, I'm going to set you up with them because they're doing a mommy blogger thing in October. And I shot like a little video for them and you should go. I'm going to connect you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I would love that.
You guys do a little family vacation and then like
we need it. We haven't done our honeymoon yet or anything. We've had no
way.
We've done nothing.
Neither did we.
So
we have like dogs that are just, we have two dogs that are almost 18. They're kind of in their final moments. And so we can't travel together. So my trip that I had planned was with my best friend. And then because Kevin couldn't come instead, because we were going to swap it when we decided to get married. She's like, I feel like this is over, right? You're getting married. You're going to go on your honeymoon. I go, not quite. Hold that thought. So we went on a friend's move, but we are hoping to go somewhere this summer. So have you guys figured out what you want to do when you do it?
We would love to go to Europe. I've never been to Greece.
I really want to
go there. I want a hut on the water in Fiji.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do all those things.
Yeah. Go to Greece. Relax. It'll be amazing. And I'll set you up at Sandals for the mommy blog.
Thank you so much. By the way, congrats on your wedding.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. What a surprise.
I know, right?
So insane. What made you want to do that?
Well, I sat with the producer for the show, and I was talking to her. I'm like, we need big moments in the show. And she was going through the big moments, and the final one was, we're going to have a couple get married on the show. And I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And she goes, unless you and Kevin want to get married. And I'm like, ew, really? No, no. And then I kept saying no as she was like, are you sure? And then I thought about it when I got in my car, and I'm like, wait, I think this is kind of amazing. I don't have to worry about a wedding and inviting people and all the nonsense that goes around this. It really will just be about us. And
that's so nice.
And you get amazing. Epic photos. Your photos are incredible.
They was, yeah. Yeah. Were you freezing though?
Yeah, of course.
You looked stunning.
Thank you.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Thanks. So. It was cool. It was really special. I had a really great time.
Good, babe.
So, yeah. And I'm glad to hear that you guys are doing well. And
thank you.
And, you know, we're waiting for another one.
Another one, yeah.
Do you guys want a big family or do you want...
No, not too big.
Just I two? Mean,
maximum three.
Maximum
but three. I think the third one would be, you know, in 5 years type of
we
thing.
We should call the third one maximum three.
Maximum three, yeah.
You said that. I'm like, I like that. That's a cool name. Maximum three Chermakovsky.
It's so like Transformer.
Yeah. I like that.
Futuristic child.
Yeah. What, when you look at your life, like how, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Like what's your ultimate kind of...
You know what? My first and foremost thing is to be a great mother. I feel like that's such a redundant statement being said all the time, but it really is. If I could have my child say to me, you are the greatest mom in the world, that would mean the world to me. Mm. And apart from that, I mean, I want to keep acting. I want to.
You just did a feature, right?
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's an independent film. Yeah. Thank you. I was super excited about that. But yeah, I want to be on Broadway still. I want to still work. It feeds my soul. It's what I love to do. And yeah.
Broadway.
Hopefully have three.
You've not done Broadway yet, probably because of Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been able to. So
can you sing, Peeta?
I can.
Yeah. Okay, Chicago. Do it now. Do it yeah. now. No, I'm just kidding. Can you?
Go right into Chicago.
Wait, what's that's your favorite what karaoke
do.
Song?
You want to do Chicago?
I want to do Roxy.
We need to go
when
the...
you're good to mama, mama's good.
We need such to call the Barry and Fran who... Weisler and get you in there.
Would you be Roxy?
I would love to be Roxy.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, although Roxy Velma. Song.
We got to go, though.
Shoot, we got a minute left now.
No, okay. We're done.
All right. Guys, Peeta Murgatroyd, at Peeta Murgatroyd on Instagram and Twitter. If you guys want to go to her website, allthingsfamandglam.com, at Kristen Burt. And that's it. We'll be back here tomorrow. Let's go out with a little Roxy. Come on, Nick.
It's too late.
It's too late.
I want to get my Roxy.
I know.
Oh, all right. Next time, we're going to have her come on and sing it.
The name on
if you guys want to join our newsletter, go to conversationswithmaria@gmail.com. I have a really cool one I'm about to do. You guys are going to really, really love. Or you can, email us, conversationswithmaria@gmail.com, because my link in the bio doesn't work anymore. Okay. Be nice, people. Make good choices. Oh, and let me add one last thing to that. Be present. That does it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our free Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Help us, please, by rating and commenting on iTunes, and be sure to tell a friend. Check us out on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109 weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can also hear us on demand on the SiriusXM app. Join our Conversations crew if you guys want to join our newsletter with life-changing tips and tricks, lots of great giveaways, and so much more. Please email us at conversationswithmaria@gmail.com, or you can click the link in my Instagram bio. And follow us at Maria Menounos, at SiriusXM Stars, at Danny Golub, at Lauren LaGrasso, at Haley Clover, and remember, be nice, people. Make good choices.